Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Winning Lifestyle's Audio Edition podcast. Today's episode is another one of my story time. This one hits close to my heart because not only is it one of my favorite childhood memories, but it also involves food. You know, now that I think about it, a lot of my blogs and stuff involve food in some way, huh? My summers at UC Berkeley were mainly food related. In my study abroad in South Korea series, I mostly only recall all the restaurants and food I ate. Man, I even wrote about boba and cereal. Now, I promise, I don't think of food all the time, but my love of food had to come from somewhere, so let's take a trip down memory lane and figure out how I got into cooking and baking. That's right, today's episode, I'm going to be talking about how I started cooking and baking and maybe it can inspire you to start too. Part 1. Also, remember to stick around for the joke at the end. Flashback to when I was about 3 or 4 years old and I still lived in Boston. It was around 6 p.m. I just finished watching the old school Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? On Cartoon Network. I think that was what was on. We watched a lot of TV as kids. I walked into the kitchen and asked my mom if I could help her prep for dinner. But her response made my heart drop. In Vietnamese, she said, "All done, there's nothing left to do," or something around that line. But, you know, in a very motherly way. It was like asking for candy or a toy and her saying no. So, next thing I knew, I started crying and did what any other toddler would do, pull a tantrum. Yeah, my mom had to make something up for me to do so I'd stop crying, even if it wasn't part of the dish she made. So, I started peeling carrots. I think. In most, if not every Asian household, food is a sign of love and affection because Asians don't know how to normally communicate it, or at least the older generation. So instead of an "I love you," parents usually ask, "Did you eat yet?" or "Call you down to eat," or they cut fruit up for you. I didn't think this was another love language until Wang Fu Productions portrayed it in one of their videos, What Asian Parents Don't Say. Nor did I think anybody else experienced this until other Asians, in the infamous Subtle Asian Traits, comically memed it. My parents embodied this philosophy until I became old and too mentally scarred to feel any kind of emotion. So I was conditioned to believe this since my entire life, and I still think it's the best way to show affection. Actions speak louder than words, right? Back when I was in elementary or middle school, my parents would work all day and come home late. But kids got 8, right? So as the only girl in the family and having very-ish traditional parents, I was tasked to do the cooking. Spam, eggs, lap seung, which is Chinese sausage, or egg lap seung, which is an omelet with lap seung. You know, regular college sustenance. On good days, we would have steak and I'd marinate it and cook it well done. Well done, because as a 9-year-old, I didn't know how to cook yet. And even after watching Chopped and other Food Network shows a bunch of times, it still doesn't work. But some days my mom would pre-cook soup and all I had to do was add broccoli, green onions, and cilantro, and some pepper, all of which were already prepared too. Boom! Call me Chef Jen. Although I did most of the cooking out of the three of us, some of my fondest memories were cooking alongside my brothers. My most memorable one was probably when we tried to cook canned corned beef. You know, as starving children who didn't know how to professionally cook, or at least cook sustenance, we scoured the pantry for Spam, but found an unknown can labeled corned beef. When we opened it, we were completely appalled because it didn't look or smell like Spam. I mean, we still fried it up, but my brothers were afraid to eat it, thinking it was poisonous. And then here you have me on the side taking tiny bites every couple minutes to make sure it wouldn't kill us, because I have a stomach of steel, and I can handle it like a champ. Another time, we all made pork dumplings and Japanese chicken curry together before Nick went off to college. Only because he instigated it first and asked us if we wanted to eat it, but it ended up just me cooking, Chris cooking, and then him giving directions. It was the first time we made something from scratch. No pre-made canned items, no nothing. The dumpling skins were made from flour, water, and maybe an egg? I don't remember. The roux for the curry was made with flour, Worcestershire sauce, ketchup, and other ingredients I can't remember. It was also the first time I realized that I sucked at cooking. I mean, you gotta start somewhere, right? After stuffing and frying the dumplings, I took a bite out of one of them and ended up with just fried dough in my mouth. All because I didn't flatten the dough enough, nor did I add enough filling. Although the dumplings were partly inedible, the curry came out great, and now it's one of my best and favorite dishes to make. Even after Nick went to college, my cooking journey didn't stop there. Thanks for listening to part one of my story time, how I started my cooking journey. Hopefully, my story will motivate you to cook and or bake. Or, if you already do, what do you like to cook? What sparked your motivation on your food journey? I'd love to hear your stories, because as Julia Child once said, the people who love to eat are always the best people. And now for that joke. What did the peanut say to the cashew when it sneezed? Cashoon tight. Food jokes are the best jokes. Thanks again for listening. Stick around more for my puns, jokes, story time, and me in general. Until then, this is Jen from Winning Lifestyles, and remember to keep smiling.